Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, hi there, hello there. My name's Tricia. Thanks for joining me for the final Blog Talk Radio show. Now, that doesn't mean I'm giving up true crime radio. I'm just going to concentrate on my show that's on iHeartRadio. It's just hard to do two. And there's lots of things about this show I like on Sundays. First one being no commercials. Second one, I have up to 3 hours. I loved that. But, you know, I got to go where it's hopefully going to keep growing and growing, and that's with iHeart. So here's the deal. It's confusing trying to find the link to my iHeartRadio show. So I've created a room, and you just go to truecrimeradio.com. That's my chat room for that show. You can go there, and there's a link to my show on iHeart right there. You have to click on it between, I'm on the air between 8 and 9 Eastern Thursday nights, and you just click on that link during that time, and you'll hear me. And it's on the iHeartRadio network, but it's just hard to find if you go to their webpage. So just remember this address, truecrimeradio.com. Get there, and we have all the links. We even have the link to the archive show. It's all there for you, my darlings. It'll make it nice and easy. And I'd like to remind you, if you do one thing today, check out the Doris Day Animal Foundation. What a great woman and a great cause. Doris Day, very famous movie star. In the 70s, she noticed there were just homeless animals everywhere. And let's face it, in the 70s, we weren't even clued in on how bad the animal situation was. We didn't think about it. And she did. She said, this is ridiculous. I need to do something. So she took her own money, built the Doris Day Animal Foundation with the sole cause of finding homes for homeless animals. You can check them out at DorisDayAnimalFoundation.org. And I get to say this for the second to the last time. Opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and guests. Trisha's True Crime Radio is a completely separate entity from WebSleuth.com, LLC, and ForumsForJustice.org. I welcome, for the final time on Sunday nights, although I reserve the right to come back on Blog Talk if something big happens and I want to talk for more than an hour with no commercials. So I might be doing specials here and there, okay? But I'd like to welcome back our good friend Levi Page. And Levi, I was really sad when you gave up your Blog Talk show. I mean, I loved that show, but it's hard, isn't it?
It is, but I'm working on something, so stay tuned. I can't say
good.
Much, but stay tuned.
Good, good, good. I mean, can you give me, like, this much of a hint? Like, will it be something that we can get to and listen to and enjoy easily?
Yes.
Good. And when will we know?
It's not finished yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, let us know. Let us be the first ones.
I will.
Because
we need be the first.
We need you back on the air. That's all there is to it. Okay. We're going to talk about a couple of things today, and Levi, you and I were talking about this terrible, whether you believe it's an accident or not, this terrible event that took the life of a little toddler. His name was Cooper, and his dad is in jail now. Justin Ross Harris, he is lives in Marriott with his wife. He's 33 years old, and he left his 22-month-old toddler, Cooper, in the car, and he died. It's not that simple. What's interesting is the same week that this happened to Cooper, it happened to another dad, but he wasn't arrested. He was let go because the police determined it was really an accident. This poor dad really forgot. And again, that is enough to that's enough punishment for anybody. But police are saying, no, this was murder. This guy planned this. Levi, we are talking about the evidence that points to the planning. Why don't you go over that for us now? So, because in the beginning, they had petitions up trying to get Justin Harris out of jail, saying drop the murder charges, and now those petitions are slowly falling the wayside as more evidence comes out. But keep in mind, this is what the police are telling us. Sometimes things get discombobulated. It may not be exactly this, but this is all we have to go by. So, Levi, what is the evidence pointing to this dad really thought and purposely killed his son by leaving him in the car?
Well, there is evidence. We're getting sprinklings of evidence here and there that really poke holes in the theory that this was just simply a tragic accident. And you mentioned, Tricia, that there were petitions put up supporting Justin. And the petitions were on change.org, where people were supporting, and there was even a YouTube video, very professionally done YouTube video, talking about what a great dad he was, how much this was an accident, basically saying that police and prosecutors were going on a witch hunt. But now that more information has trickled out regarding the actions of Justin Harris, that petition has been withdrawn, and the creator of the petition put a note up on change.org where the petition was, and it says, quote, "I think that based on recent developments, this petition is no longer relevant." And
oh, no.
The reason, because of all of that, is computer searches that mm-hmm. were done by the father on his work computer. One of the computer searches, and HLN has confirmed this, that he searched how long it takes for an animal to die inside of a hot car. And there were also computer searches done on the home computer. And according to law enforcement and affidavits that have been released, Justin Harris has admitted, he confessed, he made these computer searches. So this is not like during the Casey Anthony case, where mm-hmm. Casey Anthony never said she did or did not make those computer searches, and then Cindy Anthony popped up and said she did the searches, and then later on there was an expert that testified and said, you know what, there were not as many searches as the prosecution claimed there was. In this case, he's admitted he did the searches, and he did them on his work computer at the corporate headquarters of Home Depot, which is based in Atlanta, Georgia. And he also did them at his home. And not only did he do searches related to children dying while trapped in vehicles during the summer, but his wife, Leanna Harris, has also told authorities that she researched the deaths of babies that died while trapped inside vehicles. And
okay, can I stop you? I want you to go ahead. If there's more, go ahead. But I'm going to talk about the computer things after
I'm
you're done.
I'm done with the computer searches.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I've done computer searches like that. Granted, mm-hmm. my child was not found dead in my car. Could it be they were just, you know, top of mind awareness, and that he really just did forget? I mean, isn't that still possible? Just because those computer searches are there, it could just be a horrible, horrible mm-hmm. coincidence, maybe? No.
You're right. It could be a coincidence. You know, because remember, before this happened, even before this incident happened, June 18th, there were, you know, PSAs and public awareness raised because summer is just starting, and mm-hmm. there were awareness being bandied about leaving children in hot cars. And maybe they seen a commercial or heard something on the radio and then decided to Google it. I mean, I've heard a lot of people, parents, say, you know what, I've been driving with my child in the back asleep, and I drove past his daycare and didn't realize it until the last minute and turned around and took him back
mm-hmm,
because
right.
he was asleep inside of his, in the back seat. And mm-hmm. a lot of people were defending him, but it's not just the computer searches that is so damning and hurts his case.
Okay, tell us the rest.
Well, I think the timeline is going to be interesting because not only did he forget the child, he stopped at a Chick-fil-A in Vinnings, a place just outside of Atlanta, and this was half a mile from where he worked. At Home Depot, where he was a web designer. He stopped at that Chick-fil-A, and apparently, I don't think this has been nailed down, he got out and ate in Chick-fil-A. And it's going to be interesting to see, did he leave the child in the back seat, or did the child go with him? And that is going to, if he took the child out and the child went inside and ate with him, that's going to be hard for him to explain away that he forgot during that half mile that the child was in the car when he had just gotten the child out.
Two things. Did you say this on the way to work that he did this?
Yes,
this
on the way to work.
Break?
It was before he arrived to work. And then on his lunch break, he He went into work, left the child in the back seat, and then on his lunch break, he went back to his car and retrieved something from his car. There's video evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went back into work, the child still in the back of the car.
So I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I've heard news media say, and don't ask me where, that he did take his child in to Chick-fil-A. Now, if that's the case, that is going to be very
mm-hmm.
difficult for him to prove. And the fact that he went out there during his...
There's probably going to be video evidence of that, surveillance evidence of
yes.
that as well. And if he did take that child in, that's going to hurt his case.
Big time.
That will hurt his case. And then the video evidence of him going back to the car on his lunch break, retrieving mm-hmm. something from the car, and then going back in, that's going to be evidence against him as well. And when you couple that with the Google searches, it's not looking good. If it was
that
just these Google searches, then I could understand saying, this is pretty weak, but we have videotaped evidence of him going back to the car when the child is inside, and he doesn't notice that the child is in there when he goes back.
Yeah, that will be very hard.
And also,
what
I want to know is, where was this daycare at? Where was the daycare at? And I want to know where it was at in relation to his routine and where he worked, and to where the final place where he made a huge scene. When he left work, he drove a couple of miles and turned into a shopping center and then made a huge scene there. He got out of the car screaming, according
mm-hmm.
to witnesses, "What have I done? What have I done?" And some says that he seemed genuine. But on the other hand, we have some that say that he was overdramatic
mm-hmm.
and
overdid
that they thought that he was faking it. They thought that he was faking it. So it's going to be interesting, where was this daycare? Did he drive past the daycare on his way on the shopping center? If
mm-hmm.
he did, that means that he never had any intention of taking the child to the daycare in the first place. So it's going to be interesting.
Levi, did he normally take the child to daycare? I don't believe he did he? Or do we know that yet?
I'm not positive on this. I'm not positive because we don't know too much, because the family of Justin Harris, who hail from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where the funeral
mm-hmm.
of this 22-month-old happened today, and Leanna Harris, they have all been completely silent, and they're refusing to talk to the media. Like, they are giving no comments. They're not speaking at all. But
so,
what's interesting is, Tricia, have you heard about what happened at the funeral today?
Well,
I was watching CNN, and one of the CNN reporters, Nick Valencia, who attended the funeral, said that this was not the funeral was not that much about the baby, but it was more about Justin Harris, who is in jail.
His wife got
but
up.
It was more
his
about
wife,
him. Yeah.
Right. His wife got up and said, Justin is a great dad and a great father, and everybody started applauding. And so he
mm-hmm.
obviously has a lot of support. Is there more to come out of the funeral? That's just all I've read about it. Did you hear anything else about
it? She said, "Am I angry with Ross? Absolutely not. That has never crossed my mind. Ross is and was and will be, if we have more children, a wonderful father. Ross is a wonderful daddy and leader of our household. Cooper meant the world to him." And I was also, I have not heard this quote, but someone
mm-hmm.
on my Facebook page, this is unconfirmed though, but someone on my Facebook page left me a message and said that she made a weird quote, considering that if she had the chance to bring her son back, that she wouldn't bring him back because of bullying that may happen to him when he's in his teens, or some weird comment like that she also made. I don't know if she made that or not, but that's a weird comment, saying that if she had the chance to bring him back, that she wouldn't.
She wouldn't, because of the pain he'd suffer. Yeah. Who knows? But that it does sound like it was kind of a pep rally for the dad. And it doesn't sound like the family's backing down from him. Now, Levi, you mentioned, we're talking about Levi Page, we're talking about the 22-month-old toddler who was found dead in the back of his dad's car. He'd been left there all day. Police arrested the father, Justin Harris, and said, no, he planned this because he did computer searches on how long it takes kids to die and how long it takes animals to die. Anyway, now I forgot my question. That is just, you know, I'm just going to let loose today since it's my last show. I'm not going to try and cover up when
well,
I forget
stuff.
You know
what's so puzzling about this case, Tricia, is we don't know a motive. There is no motive that we know of. We can speculate. I've heard people saying, well, he was wanting a divorce and he didn't want to pay child support, but it doesn't sound like there was any trouble in this marriage because Leanna is sticking by him. She's defending him. And is not saying anything negative about him. And you would have think, if there was troubles in the marriage, we would have heard about it by now, and that she would not be as defensive and supportive of him if there were troubles in the marriage and they were maybe thinking about a divorce. There's been a lot of speculation, but we don't know any motive of why he would do this, which is, I think, part of the reason why people are having trouble believing that he purposely did this, that this was maybe premeditated. But what's interesting is when you look at the charges, Tricia, he's charged not with first-degree murder, premeditated murder. He's charged with felony murder. And I looked up the statute in the state of Georgia, and it says felony murder is a murder that occurs or a death when in the commission of a felony he causes the death of another human being irrespective of malice, which means they don't have to prove that he purposely did it. They just have to prove that he was so neglectful that the neglect
that it caused a death.
Caused the child to die.
Well, that is interesting.
It could be interesting because a lot of people were speculating during the Casey Anthony trial.
Mm-hmm.
With the death of Kaylee, that the prosecution overcharged. And they focused so much on getting that first-degree murder that they did not focus enough on felony murder, which Casey Anthony was also charged with.
Mm-hmm.
And all they would have to prove with felony murder is the child was chloroformed.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have to prove that she intentionally wanted to kill her. All they had to prove was she was chloroformed.
And
because
that's so neglectful.
That's
so neglectful that obviously the child could die, and that's why you need to be charged. You mentioned earlier, Levi, that there were some pretty good petitions on change.org in favor, in support of Justin Harris. And you mentioned this video that was well put together by his supporters. Now, the one of those petitions we know has been brought down based on the new evidence that has come forth. Has that video that is so professionally done, do you know if that's still there too?
I can look.
Yeah, why don't you look? I'd be interested to see if that's been pulled down, because it sounds like everybody was behind him, and then there's a few people going, wait a minute, something is off. And here's the thing, in a situation like this, when you while you're looking for that, Levi, you know, if you know somebody and you're sure they're a good guy, you think they're the best, and you will always support them, and then certain things start coming out, then I think what happens is people think, well, okay, they've got this evidence against him, and now that I think about it, he was kind of weird when he, you know, said this about the kid, but I just didn't think he could do anything like this. It never occurred to me. And, yeah, the wife and the husband were arguing a lot. I mean, they kind of sort of look at the person with rose-colored glasses because they don't want to believe that somebody could be so evil. And then when those glasses come off, then the little things they remember start trickling in, and it makes more sense. Did you find the video?
Well, there's so many videos with people giving their opinions on this case. I couldn't find it, but I don't know if it's still up, but I think most people saw it on television because they played it on TV. I don't know I don't know exactly who was responsible for creating it, if it was people that were associated with him, like family members or friends, or whether it was a stranger that saw a news report on the case and it struck a chord with them and they decided to put up a video. But I can't find it on YouTube in this quick search that I just did.
Well, it's just going to be a case.
Basically, the narrative of the video was basically, you know, he was a good father and that the police were overreacting and this was a tragic accident. And you know what's interesting is, Trisha, you're talking about, you know, what are people saying about the father. We haven't had anybody come out to say that the father was a bad person.
We haven't had
anybody come out and say that he was weird.
Mm-hmm. Nope, not yet.
So
and,
that's what's so puzzling about this case.
Right, because you would think by now somebody might come out and say something. Levi, you're talking about the witnesses when he pulled over to and found his child in the back seat. He was really wailing and really just hysterical. I think I would be too. But you said some of the bystanders said that they thought he might be overreacting. I think it's going to be very interesting to see. Now, did those bystanders think he was overacting immediately, or was it after they talked to the police? Did they kind of change their theory? But the description that everybody gives is he was, you know, just over the top, screaming hysterically. Now, if somebody was going to overact, that's what they would do. Then again, you think, my God, if that happened to be me, I would be screaming and hysterical.
What's also telling is, why did he decide to do this at a shopping center, which at that time of the afternoon in the summer is going to be crowded? There's going to be people there. How come he didn't do it on the side of the road?
That's
something that's weird here, that he did it when he knew that there was going to be an audience there. That's something that the prosecution may argue.
I was going to say, it could be he turned around, saw his kid, and just pulled into a place that he felt was big enough to open the door and get the kid out. Maybe it was right there. I don't know. I mean, that's probably what he'll say is, I turned around, I saw him, I looked for a place to pull over, I just pulled into the shopping mall that was right there. I think that could be easily explained away, maybe, unless it's a total, you know, the total evidence might be what makes this case.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself may not be anything, but when you put it together with everything else, it's just one big solid, you know, he's guilty. I don't know, Levi. I just don't know. What's your feeling on it?
Well, you know that he was charged first with, I think, a first-degree
mm-hmm.
child cruelty, and then a judge downgraded that charge to second degree. And
mm-hmm.
I was listening to some legal analysts on CNN, and Mark Garagos, who's a high-profile defense attorney, basically said that with the evidence that has made available, that there's not enough evidence to say that this was purposefully done, and that maybe the police did overreact to this. And I remember whenever this story first hit the news, there was a quote from one of the Cobb County police officers who stated that this is one of the most horrific, I'm not giving the quote verbatim, but it's something of this nature, that this was the most horrific cases that he's ever seen in his career. And you would think that if it was simply an accident, that he wouldn't make a statement like that.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what more do they have, because they're keeping it very close to the vest. They said they're not going to try this case in the media, and we are just getting a sprinkling here and a sprinkling there of what they have. Do they have more? That's going to be the big question. And I think that, I mean, in order to prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt, and especially with a jury, that they're going to have to need more than what we have. I think that what we're seeing is things that make us suspicious, but isn't enough to hold up in a courtroom, is a different story, because we've seen a lot of cases where we have information in the initial stages put out in the media, and it all makes us suspicious. But when you take that evidence and you put it under the scrutiny of experts from both the prosecution and the defense, it turns out something different. Holes can be poked in it.
Right.
And we see a different story come to light. And I think that we need more evidence. We do need more evidence. I think everyone agrees on that point. And we just don't know what the police have found. He did speak to the police. He admitted that he did make those computer searches. I wonder, what else did he tell police? What else did he tell police?
Right, that they're
and
not
another
telling
thing
us.
That's interesting, someone on my Facebook mentioned this, is that when someone dies, that they immediately begin to emit odor.
Odor. That's what I was thinking. Couldn't he smell something when he opened up his car to get something out? I mean, you do, especially in a hot car. It would stink. That's what that's one thing that really bothers me. It would really, and it would start to stink quickly, I would think. Is that what they were saying, I'm assuming?
Especially trapped inside of a hot car.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
What people were saying.
Absolutely, and that's a very, very valid point. Now, early on, I heard a rumor, and I don't want anybody to repeat this because I'm not saying it's true, but I read that there were marks on his gums, on the little boy's gums. Did you hear anything about that?
I've not heard anything about that.
Okay, that was
that
it. Was
news
just
to me.
Well, then it don't spread it because I, you know. It's just I remember hearing about it, and then they never brought it up again. And so I don't know if it went away, if it was a mistake, or what. But if that's the case, then yes, definitely, that's more evidence. But that wouldn't make any sense because he'd leave him in the car to die. Why would he need to smother him? I mean, it's just silly. The whole thing, it like you said, Levi, we need a lot more evidence. And before people crucify this dad, let's wait and see, okay? It's so easy to jump on and to tear someone apart, especially when you're hiding behind your computer, but let's just wait and see. Yeah, discuss it. Yes, put it out there.
And the thing about it is, in this case, Tricia, that there were people saying that there was a rush to judgment, and I think there's been a rush to judgment on both sides of the equation here. Mm-hmm. There were people that rushed to condemn him, and there were also people that rushed to support him and paint him as a victim and paint this scenario as simply an accident. And now that more facts have come out, we've seen those petitions have been withdrawn, and people are saying we don't want our signatures to be up there anymore because of these new facts. So there was a rush to judgment on both sides of the equation here.
That's true. And it's, you know why, Levi? Because it's so emotional. I mean, my God, this poor child. Oh, it just makes me sick. But the other dad that did this, they let him, as far as I know, they've let him go. Maybe they'll bring charges.
I'm not familiar
later
with the circumstances surrounding that, but that's...
It was the same type of thing. He didn't stop anywhere or anything. He just went straight to work, stayed there, and then got out and then when he was driving, you know, opened his car, he saw him when he opened the car at work, when he got into to go home. And so, you know, that's the thing that bugs me. I'll tell you the thing that makes me lean toward this Harris's guilt is the fact that he drove with his son's dead body. I don't know how far, but I'm telling you, when you open up that car door on something like this, it's going to stink. It's going to be awful. And the fact that Justin Harris opened the door twice, you know, once when he went out to the car during work and then he got in and drove, he had to have smelled something horrible. You know, when you hit a dead animal, my God, that smell stays forever. So that, to me, that's the most compelling piece of evidence, is where this other father, and I apologize, I can't remember what state it was in, but it was the same week, he opened up the door and saw him immediately, and I'm assuming because of the smell as well. This guy didn't. That bugs me. That's the one thing. Everything else I think we can kind of explain away. Maybe there could be holes, but that, I don't see how they can punch a hole in it. That's just my opinion. So we'll have to watch that and see what happens. Gosh, I just don't know. You're right, though, Levi. That's a very, very astute statement that both sides.
Well,
have
you know what I think is going
to
be the biggest problem in this case?
What's that?
Is people don't like to convict parents of murdering their children or even being responsible for the deaths of our children. We witnessed during the Casey Anthony trial that jurors wanted to believe Casey Anthony, that this was an accident. They did not want to believe that there was something nefarious going on, that she purposely killed her child. Parents are automatically given the benefit of the doubt, and especially when it's people like Casey Anthony who comes from a middle-class family who are white, and people like this man who comes mm-hmm. from a middle-class
right.
white family in suburban Atlanta. People want to believe them, and I think that's going to be also a hurdle for the prosecution in this case, because there was a lot of evidence against Casey Anthony, and I think it's premature to compare the two cases, but
mm-hmm.
with what we know about this case at this juncture and what we know about Casey Anthony case, there was 10 times more evidence of Casey Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
Casey Anthony waited to report her child missing.
Yeah.
The dead body stayed in the trunk, not the back,
yes.
the trunk of the car, and she went out partying afterwards and sent police on a wild goose chase for a fake nanny that didn't even exist. We don't have
yeah.
that here.
No, we don't have anything like
they
that.
They couldn't convict Casey Anthony with all of
with
that.
All of that.
How are they going to do it here?
Yeah, and we just, and Levi, you just touched the tip of that iceberg. We could go on for hours and hours about the evidence
yeah.
against Casey. And, yeah, how are they going to do it here? That's a very, very good point. They must have something else. They've got to, don't you think? They've got to have something else. But
it's
we'll
gonna,
see. We'll see. I hope the family comes out and says something. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, and a lot of people are wondering if the mother, Leanna Harris, also has some involvement, given the mm-hmm. fact that she was also searching this.
Right.
I'm also thinking that maybe she was not, this is just my theory here, I'm wondering if she is not pulling a Cindy Anthony. I don't know if she knew that Justin Harris had admitted or confessed that he made these searches. And after police interviewed him, they went to her, and then she said, oh, I made the searches to sort of cover up for him.
Cover it up. Now, that very
yeah,
well could
that's
be. Absolutely.
That's what I'm wondering, if she knew that he already admitted to making these searches, and she could be covering up. And I was just seeing on Facebook where an attorney put down the link of a news article where it says that she admitted that she also searched it, and this attorney said, I repeat, this mom needs a lawyer. So it's going to be
yes.
interesting to see if she gets a lawyer now, because
absolutely.
She's coming under scrutiny.
Well, yeah, they're going to say, did they plan this? Did they plan to kill their kid this way?
Were they
and
in collusion?
Yes. And people are going to say, how could they? Oh, my gosh, they're such a nice couple. They would never do this. And there's the problem.
I'm wondering if there were... I'm wondering if maybe this is just a complete theory, no evidence to base it on, but I'm just wondering, could they have taken out a life insurance policy on the baby?
There you go.
And
that's
maybe
what they're
came
look for.
Into financial problems.
Mm-hmm. That, you know, that's
you know.
One of the first things they're looking for, is to see if they have a life insurance policy. Well, Levi, you and I will be on it. I'm sure I'll talk about it on my Thursday show. You'll talk about it on this whatever new thing it is you have coming up that you won't reveal to me, and I'll never forgive you. And that's fine. We'll just have to wait and see. I'm just having visions of TV shows and big, big productions. Is that it? Big production? Big cast, big crew? Is that your next thing?
I have no idea.
No. You're not going to say anything. Let's talk a little bit. I want to update everybody on the Holly Bobo case. It's not a whole lot has happened but a lot has happened since we last talked to Levi. There's been some more arrests. What's going on with that, Levi?
Oh, there's been two other arrests. Remember, we had Zach Adams, who was arrested, charged with murder, kidnapping, and then we had Jason Autry, charged with murder, kidnapping. Zach Adams, I think, is 29, Autry, 39. 10 years age difference there, but apparently they were involved with each other somehow in the murder of 20-year-old Tennessee nursing student Holly Bobo, whose body has not yet been found, but blood was found at her home where she went missing. And now there's other arrests in the case. There is... brothers that have been arrested. Their names is Mark Piercy and Jeffrey Kurt Piercy. They were arrested May 29th, about a month ago, and they've been charged with accessory And they believe, law enforcement believes that they've been charged with tampering with evidence. Accessory after the fact, tampering with evidence. The TVI has confirmed that this is in relation to the Bobo case, the Holly Bobo case.
And we don't know in what way.
We know that this revolves around a video. We don't know what's on the video, but apparently one of the brothers was involved, had a video in his possession. And the TBI believes that this video that one of the brothers had in their possession had something to do with the Holly Bobo case.
Hmm.
And
we don't
they
know
believe
what
that
is. That
the two brothers know where the video is, and they're not telling investigators where it is. But we don't know what's on it. That's what's driving me crazy. We don't know what is on this video. And the affidavits that have been released claim that law enforcement believes that they also concealed evidence. And one of the brothers, just to tell you about his background, is Mark Piercy. He is a registered sex offender, and he was charged in the past with statutory rape. And also, in addition to being arrested in connection with the Holly Bobo case, got into trouble because he did not tell law enforcement where he was living, his primary and secondary address. He got in trouble for that as well. And Mark Piercy, I'm thinking they're the ones that law enforcement is the one that had possession of the video, because I was watching an interview that they did with the other brother, Jeffrey Piercy. He spoke to some local media here in Tennessee, and he denies that he was in possession of a video or that he watched a video concerning the Holly Bobo case. He didn't even know what they were talking about. And I got to tell you, I watched that interview with Jeffrey Piercy, and he was believable to me. And I very rarely say, I believe this person.
Right.
But to me, he sounded very believable that he did not know anything about a video. And he said that he would not associate with the suspects in this case, Jason Autry and Zach Adams. He said that he did not know them, but he knew of them. He had heard their names, and he said that they both had bad reputations, and that he's married and he has a family, and he would not allow his family to be around them. So he said that the only way he knew them was because of their reputation, and he'd heard about them, and that's it. And this is not the same brother that is a registered sex offender. The brother that's the registered sex offender, two different people. And I don't even think he's that close with his brother, because he said that he wasn't even raised with his brother. I'm just wondering why police are focusing on him, because he seemed believable. Now, there may be something, you know, TBI is keeping this very close to the vest here, but they may know something that I don't. But he seemed believable to me. And this video that we don't know anything about, it is a mystery video. Apparently there were some witnesses that came to the TBI, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. They said they saw a video relevant to the Holly Bobo case, and they believe one of the voices on the tape is Mark Piercy, the sex offender, who was guilty of statutory rape.
Wow. God, there's a lot of scumbags involved in this case.
So there's four people that have been arrested in connection to the Holly Bobo case.
And nobody. And somebody's got to talk. That poor Holly's family, my God, those poor people. My heart just breaks for them. But aren't all of the, I mean, anyone who murders anybody is a scumbag. But, I mean, these are, like, extra scummy. Like, they asked for scummy on the side when these guys were born. Because, I mean, they're, like, you know, sex offenders and just scary, creepy people, all of them. What was the first guy that was arrested? Wasn't he a skinhead Nazi type guy, white supremacist?
Well, Zach Adams on his Facebook page had made references to a whore. This whore had it coming to her. He made a statement like that on his Facebook page the day that Holly Bobo vanished.
Oh, my
God. He also posted a picture later on of him dressed in camouflage. Remember, Holly Bobo's brother,
yes.
Clint, said that he saw someone leading Holly away dressed in camouflage. He
mm-hmm.
also posted a picture of himself in camouflage saying, "Guess who I'm looking for?" And another commenter put on there, "Holly Bobo?" question mark. There was no response for him. But that was weird.
That's weird.
Also, on his Facebook page, was a fan of some literature that a lot of white supremacists read,
mm-hmm.
and that's very racist.
Oh, my God.
And he has a history of beating women, beating his mother, being shipped from house to house because he was a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted to live with him. So he does not have a good reputation at all.
Yeah, any guy that beats
his mother.
And
he's been arrested numerous times for drugs. Drugs
yeah.
and domestic violence. Tried to shoot his mother.
Jesus. That, you know, you look at people like that, Levi, and you think, I wish there was some sort of tribunal that could just get together and say, okay, this guy is just too scummy to be on this earth. We need to put him in a hole and forget about him. Because here's the thing. Go ahead. And you were what?
I agree with you. I was just wondering the same thing because he's been arrested for drugs and domestic violence. He tried to shoot his mom. He beat girlfriends. And I was telling Cheryl McCollum, when I was talking with her about this case, who's a regular guest on your show, a crime analyst,
mm-hmm.
and I was saying, oh, how is this guy still out? But she made a good point. When you're dealing with domestic violence cases, you know, people don't want to testify against him.
Right.
Because of what more
right.
he could do to
what
them.
What they could do.
So he'll
right,
plead guilty and then get a probation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
But,
or
you know,
get like a couple of months in jail.
That's it. And I just go back to the one of the main things that I want to deal with on my show is we've got to stop creating people like this monster. That something happened. He wasn't born this way. Something about his environment, I'm not excusing it. The guy, in my opinion, needs to be taken away from humanity and locked up because all he's going to do is hurt people. And all he's going to do is continue to hurt people. And that's what I'm talking about. We need to stop these people from even being created. And I don't know how we go about that. I just know that's the only way we're ever, ever going to stop this type of horrible crime. So like I always say, Levi, if they would make me king, I could fix it. In fact, give me a day, I'll get it fixed. But everything I say during that day as king has to stay. If they could just do that, Levi, we could get everything fixed. I'd make you vice king, okay?
Like, I would enjoy that.
Hey,
I don't know if a lot of other people would enjoy that, though, Trisha. I think we may piss some people off.
I think we may piss a few people off, but, God, we'd have fun. Levi, last show, is there anything else you would like to talk about, touch on, anything you've always wanted to say? You can say it. There are no censors here, just anything else you want to touch on.
Well, Trisha, I've always enjoyed doing your show, and I love your show on Thursdays. Always a great show, and I've really enjoyed being on over the years, and whenever you came on my show, it's always a great time.
Well, thank you, Levi, and believe me, you're still going to be my guest a lot, so get ready for that. Just don't make a show on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. Everything will be fine. Let's not compete against each other. I've had fun, too. I don't know if anybody remembers my first two shows were with another company, and I remember we broke their server. We had so many people, and I was really upset. I said, you know, I had to pay them. I said, I pay you this money, and you can't even get everybody on listening. And the guy goes, well, why do you always have to look at the negative? Look at the positive. Look at how many people did here. And I'm like, oh, God, no, that's not how this works. You know, you don't say, we'll get as many people on as we can, and the rest will be kicked off. So then I came to Blog Talk, and it's just been fine ever since. So here's the thing, though. I am going to have Blog Talk specials. If there ever is something that is big, and we don't want commercials, and we don't want anyone to mess with us, we want to be able to say whatever we want, I will come back to Blog Talk. I'm going to keep my account. And we'll have a blog talk special. So just keep your eye out for that. Remember, though, if you want to listen to my iHeartRadio show, rather than trying to steer you to the iHeart station, to the iHeart page and then trying to find it, just remember this address, truecrimeradio.com. You get there, there is the link to the show, the link to the archives, and the chat room that will be open during the show. It's Thursday nights between 8 and 9 Eastern. Levi, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. We'll be talking to you soon on the other side of the radio dial down at iHeart, okay?
Oh, thank you, Tricia. Good luck.
You bet. Take care now. And do remember, Tricia's True Crime Radio, the opinions expressed on this show are those of the hosts and guests. Tricia's True Crime Radio is a completely separate entity from WebSleuth.com, LLC, and ForumsForJustice.org. Oh, yes. Please, please, please visit the amazing Doris Day Animal Foundation.org. Yes, Doris Day, the actress, has set up an animal foundation with the sole purpose of finding homeless animals a nice, loving home like yours. Doris Day, a wonderful woman, took her money and did some amazing good with it, and still, to this day, it operates. So check it out, www.dorisdayanimalfoundation.org. Okay, my darling True Crime Angels, I will see you Thursday night. And remember, on True Crime Radio, we always discuss true crime and current events, and we always do it with common sense. Remember, truecrimeradio.com. That will get you everywhere you need. You be safe. Take care. Bye-bye.